Oh, we finished on deacons, right? So tonight we start with what music is good for Christians. Turn to Job chapter 38. Actually, you could turn most anywhere. It's just that's where I happen to have my notes. Job 38. And Job 38, 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Now, the question is, what music is good, that is right or proper, for a Christian? And the debate is endless. I've burned my eyeballs and my ears out listening to tapes on what's wrong with rock music and what's wrong with contemporary and why there's no such thing as Christian rock, no such thing as Christian rap, what's wrong with country and western and all that. And all them guys spend all this time talking about the beat and the tempo of the music, the lifestyle of the performer. They talk about all kind of stuff, which, to be absolutely honest with you, just as far as I'm concerned, misses the whole point. What's the lyrical content? What does the music say? Now, Psalm 150 said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." And then if you spend any time at all studying music in your Bible, you'll find out that music is there on creation day. The sons of God, all the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, all the sons of God sing on creation morning when God lays the foundations of the earth. So music's as old as this old world. And, of course, on creation day, the music was to glorify God. They were celebrating God's creative act in creating this planet that you live on. And then from that point on, all the way through the Bible, music accompanies worship. Everywhere you go, when God builds the tabernacle, they get singers and they have instruments. When they build the temple, David gets him men singers and women singers, and he invents instruments of music. And you'll find out that they were always writing new songs. At least five times in the Old Testament, it admonishes you to sing a new song. They didn't sing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me" every Sunday for 5,000 years. They wrote some new stuff. And it all didn't sound just alike. It didn't all have the same beat. Didn't all have the same tempo. They sang the song of Moses. They sang Barak's song. They sang all of David's psalms and songs and hymns. The music in the Bible, without going into a big long thing, was loud. It was upscale. It was fresh and new. They invented instruments to play it on. They were instructed to play skillfully. That means they were to practice. And they weren't penalized because they were really good at it. Nowadays, you know, if a fella gets real good, then they say he's too polished and he's just doing it to make a living, or he's just showing off, you know, he's not really doing it for the Lord. Well, in the Bible, they were supposed to do it skillfully. I suppose we're supposed to listen to second-rate music. You know, some turkey that knows three chords in one octave. You know, that's nonsense. Music ought to be as professional and as of high quality as you can get it. And you ought to use any instrument that you can use to glorify the Lord. In the Bible, man, they use cymbals. I heard a fellow say one time, "Well, you can't make a saxophone sound spiritual." And I agree with him. I never heard one that sounded spiritual. But that doesn't mean that it would be wrong to play gospel music on a saxophone. Amen. I don't see anything wrong with using kettle drums. They use them in the Bible. Matter of fact, when you read all the instruments used in the Bible, anything that would make a noise, they used it to praise the Lord. That's the reason we're not against drums. We're not against bass guitar. We're not against trumpets and trombones and clarinets and flutes and whatever you got. If you can do it so that it praises the Lord and glorifies Him, we're all for it. Now, the music that we're not for is any music that does not glorify God, which leaves out any kind of rap music, any kind of rock and roll, and any kind of country and western, and any kind of pop. Say, all of it? All of it. Because none of it's about the Lord. I don't care who's singing it. I've got a CD at home by Hank Williams. Now, Hank Williams was a country singer. He was not a singer. He was a singer. And on the CD, all he sings is gospel music. My wife cries when I put it on play. Now, the point is, I know what Hank Williams was. Hank Williams died from an overdose of heroin. He's a dope head. But he sang songs that glorify the Lord. Now, I don't listen to his country songs, but I listen to his gospel songs. Half the people you know that sing gospel music, you wouldn't approve of their lifestyle. And if you knew them, you wouldn't approve. Amen? Now, and here's some Pharisee Christian says, well, I can't listen to Southern gospel music because such and such a quartet, that old boy drinks, or they're tomcatting around, you know. What's that little fat contemporary singer? Sandy Patty just confessed she just had an affair. But they'll go and buy the Vienna Boys Choir or the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and listen to them sing Handel's The Messiah and think how spiritual it is. Why? If them folks believe what they profess to believe, there's not a saved person in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. If a Mormon believes what a Mormon professes to believe, he ain't saved. And yet folks run around and think that's spiritual. Listen, I don't care who sings it. If the song praises the Lord and glorifies Him, I like it. I listen to Elvis sing gospel. Amen, amen, amen. Amen and amen. He said, well, I don't like Elvis. Okay, well, don't listen. Find somebody else. Listen to Frank Sinatra for all I care. But I'm not going to listen to Frank Sinatra sing secular music. In the Bible, the only music that's pleasing to God is music that glorifies God, which leaves out all secular music.
Amen.
That's the reason we're supposed to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You're not supposed to be going down a road singing Tutti Frutti. You ought not to be singing the lyrics to the latest country hit, whatever that is, or to the latest rap song or the latest rock and roll song. Not because you don't agree with the lifestyle of the people that sing it, because what they sing about doesn't glorify God. And if you make the distinction on who does this music lift up, who does it glorify, who does it praise, and quit worrying about tempo, how fast it is, all that, and who sings it, and concern yourself with who are they singing about, and does it in fact glorify God, make choosing your music real simple. Amen. Now, I've got a good friend, and he's a real spiritual-minded fella. God knows he really is. And he likes bluegrass gospel music. It's not Mark either. But it includes him. Now, bluegrass is a style of music. But when they sing that Stone Come Rolling Out and Babbling or whatever that thing is, you know, all that bluegrass kind of runs together a few minutes. But it glorifies the Lord. Amen. What's that group that's got that acapella? The Bishops. Now, that's a bluegrass group, and they sing acapella bluegrass. And it's real pretty. They make all the melody and everything with their mouths sound like chimes and all kinds. It's really neat. Help yourself. So long as the music you listen to glorifies the Lord. Now, when you turn on the country and western station, and they're talking about, I got $2 in a jukebox and a bottle of wine, and if that ain't enough, I got another $5, and I'm going to get drunk and cry myself to sleep over my baby who ran off with somebody else, and they're living like that. That doesn't glorify God. Amen. Now, there's an admonition in the Bible. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, bringing every thought into captivity. Right? Now, listen. You think about what you sing about. Amen. It runs around in your head. So you got to be careful what you put in there. And you put those songs of rebellion and insurrection and demonic phrases, you put that in your mind, that's what you think about. You're supposed to be trying to bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. You are supposed to be endeavoring to have a pure mind. You can't do that and put secular filth in your head. That's the reason I preach, I believe, I teach that a Christian should only listen to hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. And if you go through the Bible, that's the only kind of music ever referred to in that book. There's no other music in there. And there, as far as I know, there is no other music appropriate for a Christian. Amen? All right.